classic.
We are back. That's
we
right.
are back.
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. And we'll never, ever, 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 ever leave each other. We're the best three friends that anybody could have.
Fine enough. At least it's a starting point.
Yeah, Jesus. Pretty much.
Nailed it.
Alright.
Alright, welcome back to Season 0, Episode 5 of Three Best Friends.
The episode you'll probably never hear.
Another episode you'll probably never hear. Let's put it that way.
No, this is the only one. Everyone else is going to make it.
It's true.
You did not see what's going on with the first four. Those ones... To salvage those is going to take some miraculous recovery.
Yeah, which none of us... I mean, we have the ability to, we just don't have the willpower.
The two audio engineers and the visual effects guy aren't going to save.
It's true, but don't worry about it, because as we were talking about before we hit the record, Jeff has already lost all faith in me and Naveed and gone ahead and branched out and started another podcast, so you guys don't even have to worry about listening to this one anymore, because... Even one of our, actually, we could say our very own founding father no longer has faith in the institution.
And it's not even like we can, like, call on the fans to fucking petition against that. Like, there's legit nobody that has listened to these. So,
seriously,
we're fucked.
It is tough that there's nothing for them to listen to. It's hard to develop fans when there's nothing there.
You didn't even let us spread our wings and fly before you clipped them.
There's no second podcast yet. There's
you like legit pushed us out of the nest. Together. Just
yeah,
sabotage. All right. It's for your own personal gain.
Yeah, you lit the nest on fire. Shoved it out of the tree.
Lighting a fire under your asses.
You pissed on it.
Getting this thing moving. That's all it is. It's motivation for you fuckers.
Cool, bro.
Well, as you're saying, welcome to what is likely to be the happiest episode of Three Best Friends ever. Let's start like we do every week, and I don't know.
Cheers.
What's been going on? Cheers.
Cheers.
What's been going on in your lives? What are you guys drinking?
I am still drinking the box of Corona that somebody has left at my house so graciously. That's about it.
I think that's a symptom of being over 30, is that a case of Corona no longer lasts a night. It lasts many weeks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's like 3 weeks running.
At least.
Yeah. So far, every episode we've done, Naveed has had a Corona, and I think it's all from the same box.
It is, and that's pretty much the only time those are touched, or when we go down to the pool.
And if you're still working from the same case of Corona, you probably haven't gone to the pool much either.
No, we have, but we don't have a beer every time we go down to the pool.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. But definitely still working on the same case.
Gotcha. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. My gut doesn't show it, but not a beer drinker.
Nice. I just got back from the gym, so I'm sipping on a G&T. That's right. That's what I do now.
That's nice.
Go to the gym.
I'm sort of in the Jeremy vein, but we're going through a Vancouver-style heat wave, which means it's in the 80s.
Aww.
So I needed something a little more refreshing. I've got a Tito's and San Pellegrino.
Okay.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, just a hint of sweetness. It's pretty nice.
It's very fancy.
We just had an earthquake. I don't know. Did you feel the earthquake at all? We just apparently had a huge earthquake.
It was a little 4.0 action out of Fremont, and I didn't feel shit because it was at 2 a.m.
I didn't feel.
Yeah, oh, 2 a.m. Yeah. Either. That's just like rocking to sleep.
Yeah. According to the media, though, it was like the warning sign of the second coming, and basically every news outlet has latched on to the fact that there's an earthquake, saying everyone in California needs to prepare for the big one because the Hayward Fault is ready to erupt and murder us all, apparently.
Right, and then the rock will come and save us all. They're saying the same
thing. Vancouver's about to get the biggest earthquake they've ever had. Seattle and Vancouver are supposed to get one in the next 2 or 3 years. So who knows what it all means.
Nice. I didn't even know Canada had earthquakes.
I didn't either.
I just heard about that recently.
All I know is that The Rock will come and save us, and he has a helicopter that he flies, He will parachute down into AT&T Park, and he will save me because I used to love wrestling, and I'm going to be like, yo, I smell what The Rock is cooking, and he's going to be like,
I worked on that movie.
Come on.
That was only the, kind of. That, but I
that was
on
the worst movie I've ever seen.
I really enjoyed it?
I actually haven't seen it, but I've heard the visual effects looked amazing, at least in the parts that I saw working.
The visual effects were fantastic, don't get me wrong.
It looked real.
What you quote-unquote allegedly worked on looked beautiful.
I consulted on one shot with the guy that sat next to me. I was stuck on Pan, which actually might be an entertaining movie, but San Andreas looked much better.
No, that movie was awful. And, Naveed, I don't know if you can defend that movie, but maybe you loved it, that's fine, but the plot points of that movie were terrible because they tried to establish The Rock's character as having, like, all this moral value and, like, saving record numbers of people and putting his life above all others. But the second there's an earthquake, he abandons where he's going, commandeers a helicopter, and flies, like, across the states just to save two people while, like, hundreds of thousands of people die around him.
This is very true. He does bail out and say, fuck everyone, I'm going to my daughter and my ex-wife.
Yes.
First of all, if there was an earthquake, I would not save any of my exes.
Yeah, it just wasn't
believable. You would if your ex was Carly Gugino. Is it Gugino? Gugino?
Gugliano?
I
don't know. Jeff, you're the one that pretended to know her name, so at least bring it to her. I don't even know who that lady is.
I know she's in Wayward Pines.
She got topless in Sin City. She's hot.
Okay.
She's all right.
She's pretty hot.
The other chick in that movie was way hotter.
She's pretty milfy. Like, the ex-wife's pretty milfy. I mean, I guess it's milfy.
She's milfy.
Yeah.
It will be soon.
But, yeah.
She's got the milf tendencies.
Did you recently watch this film? Were you watching this film at 2 a.m. last night?
No, but that would be...
When the actual earthquake hit?
That would be kind of weird. But, fun fact, before going to bed last night, my girlfriend was like, did you feel that? And I was like, no. And she was like, I'm pretty sure there was an earthquake. And I was like, no, there wasn't.
Did you move the earth for her? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
That's what I do every time. And I fucking steal stars and hand them to her.
Did you go to bed at 2 a.m., Naveed?
No, I didn't. It was definitely like, I don't know, 12. But she...
12 o'clock? That's late, man. I'm at 10 o'clock. Like, this is a... I was staying up late tonight just to record this.
I felt really bad saying 12. I thought you guys were going to make fun of me.
No, 12 is about average for me. I feel you.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are night owls.
Hell yeah.
I'm pushing my bedtime right now.
Yeah, but, so now that the earthquake happened and she thought she felt it, because she's from San Diego, they don't get a lot of earthquakes down there, so every time the earth moves a little bit, she freaks out. And so now that the earthquake happened,
she has premonitions now?
Yes. She was like, I'm a wizard. I was like, all right.
I'm not going to say anything negative about your girlfriend because I haven't met her. She sounds like a wonderful girl.
She has her moments. But...
good luck.
That's a moment that I wish this was a video podcast. I wish she has her moments, and then just straight to the beer.
Hey,
that was amazing.
You gotta start somewhere, right?
I need you guys to talk about the rest of the important stuff in your life, so I can get back to my awesome week I had. So can we carry on?
You had an awesome week, and mine was just sort of mediocre. So let's hear about your weekend. I want to hear about you and your brother and all the fun stuff that happened to you.
Well, I don't know if... Oh, God. See, I'm just digging myself. I feel like I'm in a paint myself in a corner mood today, because my initial, like, thoughts on everything is not the most positive. But, no, my brother got married this weekend. And that was a terrible precursor to that statement, but my brother got married this weekend, and it was awesome, but it was a fantastic wedding from what I hear from everyone else's point of view, but, like, I was serving multiple purposes throughout the wedding. I was the best man. I also had to, like, set up the AV. I actually kind of earned the nickname. People were jokingly referring to me as Bridezilla during the wedding.
Wow.
Because I was, like, running around trying to make sure that everything, like, stayed on task and was getting done.
Was that your job?
I wish... It wasn't a job, but it wasn't my job specifically, but it was a job that needed to be done, and it's my brother's wedding, and I wanted to go off
Didn't
well.
Didn't they pay somebody a lot of money to do that?
Now, that's funny that you should...
There's a coordinator that's supposed to do that, but if the coordinator's not there, then it does kind of fall on the AV person. That's what happened at our wedding.
So, her aunt was, like, the de facto coordinator, and her aunt did an exceptional job, but, like, one person is only capable of doing so much. And, like, her aunt, like, literally set up the entire venue, coordinated all these things, did the rehearsal. Her aunt was working literally up into the point where the wedding was beginning, and the wedding was held at a state park, and literally before the wedding started, her aunt went into, like, the restroom facility at the state park, changed into her wedding attire to attend the wedding because she was setting everything up and getting everything ready up until the last minute.
Wow. Nice.
That's impressive.
That's commitment.
It was very like everyone contributes, everyone throws in hands-on with friends and family wedding, which it turned out awesome. I heard nothing but positive feedback about what an exceptional wedding it was, one of the best weddings people have been to. I just particularly didn't find the time I wish I had to enjoy the festivities because I was so on best man duties, filling in the DJ on how to work the AV equipment that was set up. Although I did get incredible feedback on my best man speech, apparently crushed it.
Nice.
So
so did you prepare it or did you wing it?
Can we get an excerpt?
No, I'll be honest with you, I prepared it. I prepared it at 12:30 the evening prior when I realized that my cocky arrogance of like, no, I'm totally gonna wing this was not gonna work in my favor and panicked.
Nice.
So you have to write when inspiration strikes, and like inspiration just tends to strike me about the absolute last moment possible that I can get something done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I went with the theme of essentially, I mean, I kind of lied and said I did a lot of research into writing an ultimate best man speech, and that there was three consistent do nots that came up, and one was tell an embarrassing story about the groom, talk negatively about the bride, and talk too long. So I kind of based my theme, my speech was essentially based around the idea that as I was researching how to give an awesome best man speech, it said avoid those three things, so I decided I was going to do the opposite and talk strictly about those three things.
If done well, that can be a great, great best man speech.
Yeah, and so like I told an embarrassing story about my brother, but tied it into like show like from an early age, he's always stuck to his convictions and how like throughout his life that's led him well and ultimately is like what caused him to pursue the girl of his dreams. And then I like talked about Sarah. I said like don't talk negative about Sarah, by the way, is my brother's wife, longtime family friend. It was a fantastic wedding. Let me say that a few more times. It was a fantastic wedding.
She's gonna put that out there real quick.
Yeah. Fantastic wedding. Sarah, if you're listening, love you. And then tied that into basically like how she was super stubborn and how she didn't want to admit that she liked my brother. But once she did that, it was a beautiful thing because her stubbornness and her refusal to admit she liked my brother parlayed into like a stubbornness in love with my brother. And then I tied that into like, at this point, clearly I've broken all three rules and spoken far too long. So let me just offer a toast to Jason and Sarah, and may they forever be stubborn in love.
Oh, that's came that's
well done.
Good. Well yeah, played, yeah. Sir. You brought it back.
Wow. Yeah, I did.
Reference to the beginning. That's fantastic.
It went well. I was pleasantly surprised because I was like, this could go. I mean, I wrote that at 12:30 at night in the hotel the night before, literally on the room service door hanger signs. I couldn't find paper. So
the do not disturb signs.
And I did not go to bed with full confidence that it would go off well, because I was like, well, I'm basically, this could either go horribly well or horribly wrong. Fortunately, I think people had drunk enough, and I had walked around enough prior and buttered people up that they accepted it.
So. Nice.
I mean, that was probably the key, is to introduce yourself prior so they all get a feel for you.
Well, this is the thing, and Jeff, I don't know, you're the only one here who's actually gone through the wedding ceremonies, but my older brother told me it was a responsibility of mine as the best man to go around and personally thank attendees for coming to the wedding. And
well, if you remember correctly, Jeff didn't have a wedding party. Yeah,
we went very anti-traditional. We didn't have a wedding party. We didn't have a best man or bridesmaid, or what is it, maid of honor or something.
Had he, though, I would have walked around
for toasts
and thanked everybody for being there on behalf of the Duquettes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, I'm sure somebody went around and thanked everybody. But I think it was Navid.
I think Navid acted as de facto best man and just took it upon himself to speak to everyone in attendance.
I had my closest friends in the, you know, with me the whole time. Nobody was chosen as best man. I didn't want anybody to feel above everybody else. I didn't want anybody else to feel below anybody else.
I love that I sat like right next to Lauren's parents and then like you guys at the dinner table.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was pretty good. I mean, basically, let's just call him to be the best man.
Pretty much.
Well, I just kind of want to let you know that
you just sort of stumbled into it.
I didn't even go to your engagement. Your surprise engagement? I was just like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You should do it.
I didn't go to that either, I'll be honest with you. I think I was in Tahoe. I don't even know where I was. I mean, not that I don't remember that day to the day, because I was so sad that I couldn't
make it. Oh, I was heartbroken.
Engagement. But
I got to say, I was impressed with the plan that I came up with. So,
yeah.
It was pretty good. For those that don't
sounded
know,
great.
The very quick description, since you guys weren't there, I'll explain it to you as well.
Please.
But I invited all
you invented?
Friends and family. I invented all friends and family to, what is it, Treasure Island? Is that the one they
on that the is middle it. Of the yes.
beverage? Yeah.
Invited everybody to show up. Was driving into the city for New Year's festivities. It was New Year's Eve day, which means December 31st, because a lot of people didn't show up because they thought I said New Year's Day. Still kind of kicking myself about that one.
Yeah, that was the reason I didn't show up.
New Year's Eve day, December 31st, and yeah. We're driving into the city, and I decide that I need to pull off the side of the road, from get off on Treasure Island, take some pictures of downtown San Francisco. So anybody that hasn't been there knows that, or can now see that the pictures from that spot are gorgeous.
Classic view.
Very nice view. Told everybody to show up there. They're all hiding. I get out to take some pictures. Tell Lauren that she should come out and join me. And I'm stumbling. I've got my hand in my pocket for no reason. A huge bulge with the ring case in there. I swear she saw it on the way in there. But basically, I get down on one knee, and she said, "Well, she slammed it on me first a couple times. Didn't know what was happening. But once she finally said yes." All the friends and family came rushing out from behind some hidden rock or hill or something like that, and we had like a little champagne get-together. Would have been nice if you guys had been there, but it was fine without you.
Well, if you were more clear on your invitation, I would have known it wasn't New Year's Eve day.
Yeah, what happened was that me and Navid actually showed up on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And we just awkwardly hung out.
We were there together for at least until 3 in the morning.
I got it.
It was really kind of awkward because we were just kind of hanging out together. We were like, maybe he backed out.
And then we just finished the bottle of champagne, watched the sunset.
Yeah. It was actually a beautiful moment for us.
It probably brought us closer together. So I want to thank you, Jeff.
That's where two of the three best friends became best friends.
It's true. Yeah, I don't know how your like whole situation played out, but ours was pretty romantic and fantastic.
Ours is definitely more lifelong.
Mine went okay. You guys probably went pretty well. Mine went okay. Yeah. And
lifelong friendship.
It's true. And I want to say, though, if you were not trying to make people feel above anybody else at your wedding, you certainly failed, because I definitely felt like we had priority seating, And
I agree.
Even for not showing up at your engagement, we pretty much got priority seating. And not to say that we didn't crush it.
No, we deserved it. Like just like we definitely deserved it.
It's a wedding theme. It's like a wedding theme, I think. We're just awesome at weddings is what I'm starting to realize in whatever capacity we attend. But
I agree.
It's been your wedding before, but the whole reason for this podcast is because of how much fun the hotel room environment was getting ready for the wedding. And Jeremy just knocked it out of the park. Naveed provided so much support. And I had tears in my eyes because I was laughing so damn hard. So, it was...
I forget what it was,
but Jeremy went on some sort of racist rant that was just so, like... Oh, it was delicious how white privilege and slightly racist it was, but in such a way that it was... understandable.
I don't even remember that.
It was just beautifully delivered.
I don't even know either.
I mean, don't remember that at all. Like, that clearly stuck out in your mind. I was probably still messed up.
It's weird to me that of all
the
things.
Before.
Yeah, it's weird to me that all the things you would focus on your wedding is white privilege. But,
I know, right?
I mean, teach their own.
Yeah. Who knew that Jeremy was going to show up and call out white people for their white privilege and have everybody in the room just dying? And this was not an all-white room. This was Naveed, whatever he is, and my Filipino best friends from college. And who else was there?
Sandor, the Guatemalan.
Knows what he is. Nick Mendoza, Mexican dude. Rashid, black dude. Hell, Lisa and Meredith, lesbians.
There's a black dude there?
There's a black dude there.
Oh.
That's how we don't see color. That's just how it is.
That's just you know my friends are my friends. They all they all have red blood. So I was definitely probably more concerned with how do I get out of taking the tequila shot.
Really? You didn't want to take the tequila shot?
I cannot do tequila.
See, I don't know if this is like something we should tell you, but en route to your wedding, we stopped. It wasn't my idea, just to clarify. But
it was somebody in the car. It wasn't ours, but it was somebody in the car.
But we did stop en route to your wedding to purchase alcohol and Pedialyte because
that's a great decision. It was hot out there.
Because I guess it was just expected that enough consumption would happen that pre-drinking Pedialyte was the smart... And this is the first time I'd ever heard of
that's
this.
That's the smartest thing I've
dude,
heard.
Dude, Pedialyte is the best. I take that shit when we go to Vegas.
Oh, who did we lose? We lost our wedding coordinator to heat stroke, although we think she kind of faked it. She was terrible, and she was completely overwhelmed, so we think she faked her heat stroke to get out of it.
Nice.
Your wedding coordinator dropped out?
Yeah, our wedding coordinator dropped out literally 20 minutes before the ceremony.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. It went off without a hitch.
And our
it really
DJ
did.
Took over and just nutted up. She was amazing. The DJ saved the day. But
damn, I didn't even know that.
Out. My grandma had to go back to the hotel because it was too hot and they weren't sure she would survive the day.
I mean, that makes sense.
Phil almost didn't survive the day. He ended up he left before the ceremony.
Well,
that was a heat stroke.
Phil,
he says heat stroke, but who knows what it was? But he ended up in the hotel shower in the fetal position.
That was vodka stroke.
That's what we were told.
Yeah,
let's be real.
Well, that's the going story. So who knows what it was? The Pedialyte is. Jeez.
Well, I know what it was because I was also taking sips out of the same bottle of vodka.
So was I.
In the trunk, so
we
I can
all
tell
were.
You exactly what it was.
We were all right next to each other.
It's a brand of vodka.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the new vodka.
And it's spelled TITOS.
Making sense.
Yeah. But we'll go with heat stroke. That's a good story. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely picked up some Tito's because he was going on tour with them.
Yeah. That's actually what I'm drinking tonight. Tito's and San Pellegrino.
Yeah.
Are you going on tour with them?
I'm not going on tour with them.
Well,
and I don't
just
think
be careful.
I'm on tour with them either.
Be careful with how much you drink. You might get heat stroke.
Right.
Well, See, no one really knows what Phil does. So if Phil says he goes on tour with Tito's Vodka, you just trust that Tito or that Phil goes. Maybe we should have Phil on an episode of this podcast where all we do is get him to authentically answer what it is he does.
I don't think there'd be enough time for that.
No. He would give us some bullshit story that would
He's like the best at political answers.
But I feel like that would make a great podcast. It's just like, maybe we should dedicate this entire podcast to figuring out what Phil does.
It'd be like what does Phil do?
Yeah. But see, yeah, like, did, we're it's already such a much more
cohesive with social theme. Media. Who,
Jeff, shut up. Jeremy's talking.
Well, see, Phil recently got married. I didn't go to his wedding, but I went to his reception. And I asked him, I was like, Phil, what do you do? And he apparently was working for some promotional company that put on Coachella, but he no longer works for them. He now works for the promotional company that puts on, what's the huge music festival in Europe? And I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on this.
Tomorrowland?
It's like the biggest music festival in the entire world, and I can't freaking think of the name of it.
The one at Wembley Stadium or whatever?
It's not at Wembley, but it's like it's in Scotland, I believe. Holy shit! How can I not?
I don't know that one. Oh, tappity.
You don't hear Google.
You don't know that. Oh my god! I can't believe I can't think of this.
Well, he's so embarrassing. Working for that one.
This is like the most embarrassing moment of my life because I love music. I love music festivals, and I cannot think of the largest music festival pretty much in the entire world.
So, speaking of Phil's engagement / wedding, I was invited
Glastonbury to people. Glastonbury.
Oh, yeah.
People that put on Glastonbury.
I've
never heard of Glastonbury.
Oh, you are terrible, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the conclusion of Three Best Friends. Tune in to Jeff Duquette's other podcast, because apparently we're done, because I don't want to do a podcast with people who don't know what the fuck Glastonbury
but
is.
But the best part is, Jeff has already moved on to another podcast, so you can catch Jeff later.
Yeah, let me just cut off this microphone, and you guys keep talking. And
yeah. You just want divorce. You've already divorced us. Found a new hot young wife.
Oh my God,
two new girls.
Mm-hmm.
Who have recording equipment.
All right, just keep telling your story. I'm sorry to even bring you up. Let's go.
I didn't show up to Phil's thing either, so like at all. So don't feel bad, Jeff. I just don't show up to important events.
I showed up. You know who else showed up? Chris Johnson.
What?
Hakeem, Saeed, Terry.
What?
Wow. There's a whole Apple family.
You know who else showed up? Deontay.
No. D. That makes sense, though. They're like homies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
D showed up with his lady and their child.
D's got a kid?
A child?
D's got a kid.
Wow.
Okay. Good for him.
It was cool. I mean, yeah. It was a real old-fashioned hootenanny. But no, so getting back to the important stuff, which is my brother's wedding.
What's going on over there, Jeff? Did you get a drink that you
asked for? Just leave it. I'll force it down. I asked for a second drink, and Lauren got creative.
No,
it's awful. It's supposed to be Tito's and San Pellegrino, and it came back creamy and frothy and chunky.
Gross.
What's Lauren drinking?
I don't know. Well, she was drinking wine, but. Oh my God!
How much wine has Lauren been drinking?
Obviously too much.
Well, no, I mean, well, I want to know the secret recipe.
Ask her what's in it.
I don't know. She's drinking a Rufino. I went and got it before.
A Rufy? You Rufinoed her drink?
Have you guys heard of natural wine?
Natural wine. Thank you for changing that subject.
So natural wine makes me think of like prison toilet wine.
Well, I mean, they do say we are a product of our environment, so I can't disavow how you grew up, and if that's what you drink, that's what you drink. Interesting story on that, though.
Prison toilet wine?
Yeah. Or something close to it. Wow. Tonight is not a night for cohesiveness when it comes to me. Just no, want you guys to be aware of that.
Brother's wedding. All kinds of crazy
I am just all over the place tonight. But one of the most interesting things I've ever consumed in my entire life when it comes to alcoholic beverages
is prison toilet wine.
Hold on, I'm gonna tie it all together. See, get this?
Oh, so here Sarah, we go.
Sarah, who my brother married, is the cousin of one of my long-standing friends who I've known since I was 12. And their grandfather is an immigrant from Portugal. And when he lived in Portugal, and also when he migrated to America, he made bathtub wine.
Bathtub wine.
Wow. Like, okay.
Okay.
Straight moonshine in the bathtub.
Okay.
And I think I lost all of your audio feeds, but I'm going to go with this and just keep talking because, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to just truly shine. So he was making bathtub wine. And at some certain family occasion, I think about 40 years after the bottle we soon discovered in the attic had been made, we stumbled across a bottle of his bathtub wine.
Did you drink it?
I can see you, Naveed, but I can't hear you. This is, oh my god, dreams are coming true. Dreams are coming true. This is now Jeremy's podcast. Jeff, go join your ladies because it's time for me to take over.
Jesus.
Yes. Oh so,
my god.
We're all fucked.
So we drank this. Oh, keep chatting, boys. I can't hear you at all. This will
Jeff,
be
you can still
on
hear
the
us, right?
But
I can still hear you, Naveed. Yes.
Yeah, so this is going to be great.
Perhaps we should pause and disconnect because I can't hear shit. Yeah.
All right.
How's it going, Jeremy? Can you hear us yet?
Oh, there you are.
Hi. All right. Welcome back, Jeremy.
The mute button and is now back.
So, did you drink the wine?
Okay.
I did drink the wine.
Did you drink it?
And it tasted like the raisins in Raisin Bran.
So it wasn't bad.
That's amazing. I love those.
No,
things.
It was actually pretty good. You could almost compare it to like a lovely 20-year tawny port.
So a 40-year-old bathtub wine was raisins.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well played.
I was gonna say Raisin Bran berries, but those are also known as raisins. Thank you.
I'm done.
Oh, God.
I don't even think that'll show up on the podcast, but that was, like,
that
perfect.
Obviously aren't making it to the podcast itself.
But, yeah, I realized that was, like, not an interesting story, but I was just kind of
like, at what point did you realize that?
Well, once you guys went mute, I was just kind of drunk with power, so I was going to go with it anyway, but you know, whatever it takes, man. I'm here to keep it moving. That's what I'm doing. But, so getting back to my brother's wedding.
Yeah,
yes.
Get back to that.
So, it was a very enjoyable affair.
Did anything weird happen? Because, like, for Jeff's wedding, there was definitely some weird moments.
What's a weird
really,
moment?
What was weird?
Consider?
There were some weird moments.
I'm not going to take offense to anything, and Lauren can't hear the conversation, so you can be as open and honest as you want.
No, yeah, totally. I mean, it wasn't not weird in a bad way. It was just like, all right, like me teaching your fucking mother-in-law how to twerk. That's a weird moment.
That was a big one.
And then while she's twerking on your father-in-law, like he's high-fiving me. That's a weird moment.
That was big.
Is that a weird moment or a Naveed moment?
I mean,
that's epic Naveed.
And, you know, meanwhile, my shirt is, like, down to just two buttons.
Right. Naveed showed up looking dapper, and by the end of it, looked like he was going on naked.
Dude, if you look at some of the pictures, I have so much just random shit spilled all over my shirt. It's pretty amazing.
It was a good wedding.
It really was.
I can't complain at all. I loved it. I had such a blast. But I gotta say, I gotta ask if you even remember this, because it was well into the night. But there was a photographer that wanted Lauren and I to stand still and pose for a long exposure picture. And you and everybody else was supposed to be dancing behind us so that it looked like a big happening party, but we stood there. And you would would not participate. You had to come in and just get your face in there, and then you wouldn't move around like you're supposed to. So every time it was supposed to just be me and Lauren in exposed, your face was in there as well.
And I mean, I feel like
say you.
I think in three of the five ones that she tried to do, you were humping my leg.
I don't see what's wrong with that.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying, do you remember this?
Yes, I do. I was just trying to get your leg pregnant, and I do remember that because at that moment it was all about me.
Yes, it was. I remember that, and not being overly frustrated, but just a little bit. Just one of those that's like, you know, we spent a few thousand dollars on this photographer. Just fucking move.
No, they were earning their money.
They were.
And I mean, ultimately, you ended up with a more accurate memory.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. Overall, the picture is probably better because it's a more accurate reflection of the wedding, having a picture of Naveed humping my leg. A
few thousand dollars for a photographer versus essentially a memory that's priceless.
To get the candid moments. That's what you pay them
so
for.
So who was really being selfish is what I'm saying. Who was really being selfish?
Yeah.
I remember you guys had a champagne tower. And
yes,
Sandor and I were standing next to it, just really contemplating who was going to pull the bottom one. And we never did.
My memory is hazy.
Yeah, I remember definitely the after party of your wedding.
I remember going to a certain after party. Then
friends getting kicked out of the bar I used to work at.
Yeah, I remember not being able to do it anymore, going to the pita pit, and then going home to my farm I was staying at.
You were with the crazy lady that had the fucking...
That was amazing.
She had a coffee table made out of femur bones.
She very well may have.
That part.
She did not have a coffee table made out of femur bones. It was not true. Don't you speak ill of her. That was probably one of the highlights of my trip. I got farm fresh breakfast every morning.
No joke. Jeremy would come to us and be like, so I had breakfast this morning and it was two scrambled eggs over some fucking potatoes and some toast that she had just milled in the morning and like all this shit that we all got jealous of.
Yeah.
It was pretty epic. That was an Airbnb score, I will say. I basically looked for the cheapest available lodging in Chico, and it happened to be on some random lady's farm.
An Airbnb commune.
Yeah.
It ended up being a very enjoyable experience. I had a farm fresh breakfast every morning. She packed me a lunch.
And she said if you needed her to pick you up, she would.
I had free taxi service.
She was like a mom for those 2 days.
Yes, that's she amazing. Was. But like a very accepting mom who didn't judge me for my behavior.
She's like, I know why you're here. It's gonna get weird, and I'm here for you.
She's like, don't worry, there will be farm fresh eggs in the morning.
Good, because that's why I'm here. If there's no farm fresh eggs, I'm out. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I don't know if this is like related, but I actually just picked up 2 dozen farm fresh eggs this evening but what I've discovered is that if you go on Craigslist, there are people who own chickens and you can, no, just bear with me. I told you, I'm all over the place tonight. We're just going with this.
Just time out real quick. Cause I'm really like, I'm so anxious to hear the rest of this story. About how you scour Craigslist for people that own chickens so you can harvest their eggs just to relive that Chico meal.
And to add on top of that, that came as a segue to the farm fresh eggs he got from a commune while staying at an Airbnb for my wedding a year and a half ago.
So we are all over the place.
Today.
So he is really searching for that meal that he had relived.
But as offhanded as this is, I am very interested to hear.
I am excited.
I live an interesting life. What can I say? But no, so I don't ever read about egg production because it will fuck up your life. Like, you can't trust any of the lies that are told on egg cartons. And if you want to basically buy, like, what are authentic, real eggs, you're going to have to pay, like, minimum $10 to $12 a dozen, it seems. It gets a little crazy.
Damn.
So, hey, I found some for $8. Farmer's market. Pasteurized.
Yeah. Oh. Pasteurized? Truly pasteurized?
That's what the lady said. And okay, she...
that's a good deal.
She was fucking that's country as fuck.
$8 a dozen?
$8 a dozen.
That's pretty good. Now let me tell you about my $4 a dozen pasteurized
Craigslist find.
Local farm grown eggs.
This fucking deep Craigslist find.
And this I can't even take credit for this myself because like we were
what
I'm very snobby about my eggs.
What did you search to find this?
You just gotta search eggs.
You just go to the Craigslist search and you type in eggs.
You type eggs on Craigslist.
Do you have to fight through the miles of women that want to get pregnant, or like who's selling it? Like selling eggs on Craigslist.
There's more people selling eggs on Craigslist than you realize because people own chickens. Chickens lay a lot of eggs, so if you have a large abundance of chickens, if you have land, then you got to get them. Like you can get eggs for like $4 a dozen, $5 a dozen on Craigslist from like local. Sustainably pastured, beautiful chickens.
Where?
Heritage chickens, if you will. I'm picking mine up in the Oakland Hills.
Who the fuck owns chickens in the Oakland Hills?
People own chickens
are
in
they
the Oakland Hills.
Chickens or pigeons?
They're some of the best eggs I've ever had in my life. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, because they're like you get them injected with fucking LSD.
I don't even know if I should talk about this because I don't know the legality of it, but like you'll get them and they'll still have like the chicken bedding on them and stuff from like the yard. It's beautiful. They're so fresh.
I mean, I feel like 90% of the stuff sold on Craigslist isn't legit legal, so they're not going to be going after somebody slanging eggs.
It's true. It's true. And if you want to go on random tangents, because that's the mood I'm in.
Before you go on this tangent, I want
to
know
another tangent.
Yes, I want to know what is the weirdest fucking thing you've looked up on Craigslist, Jeremy?
That's a tough question. I mean, in my history of
there's so much weird
stuff.
Can I
say one thing real quick? I'm gonna say one thing. I'm gonna start printing out the outlines that I do for these episodes. So that right at this moment, I can just tear it up and just throw it in the air.
You know we don't read those.
We are way off
Jeff,
topic.
Maybe when we've done more than 5 episodes, we'll delve into religion and politics, which is where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear until about then, Jeremy's wedding and what was involved with Mormons and ex-Mormons and how that sort of evolved. But
we did all
to
that.
To be completely honest, I am so much more interested in where these fucking eggs come from.
True story.
They come from...
I want to know what weird shit you've looked up on Craigslist.
I've looked up... name it. I've probably looked it up.
Really?
Sex toys.
Jeff, the first thing in my mind was double-headed fucking dildo.
Yeah,
so we're on the same page.
Right there, buddy.
No, I've never actually looked up... I bet you, though... I'm curious now if you could find used sex toys on Craigslist. All right,
well, because you've looked up so many odd things on Craigslist, I want to know the craziest thing that you've actually driven to go pick up.
Yes. Purchased from Craigslist. Oh. And or free.
And not just the eggs, because the eggs are fucking weird.
No, the eggs,
I know
no,
other
we've
than
already
the eggs,
established
what's the craziest
that.
Thing you've gone to get?
In my years of Craigslisting, I don't... Oh, wow, there's so many adult toys on Craigslist that you can buy.
Are they used?
No, they're apparently new.
But
it's Craigslist.
I want you to find a slightly used toy right now and inquire about it. Like, ask a serious, legit question on how many times it was used.
That is amazing.
Or how it was sanitized in the past and if it currently is sanitized.
And
well,
if you get a response, I want a screen capture so we can post that on the fucking website.
That could be the screen cap for the podcast.
Well, for what it's worth, nothing comes up when you type in sex toy slightly used.
Nothing comes up. Okay.
What about vigorously used?
Oh, Just raucously used.
Or freshly used.
I don't...
Still moist?
No, not, none of that. It's actually, they appear to be semi-legit sellers.
So, Jeremy, can you do us a favor for next week's podcast?
Yeah.
Can you, and I'm putting you, kind of putting you on blast right now, but can you put in the wanted section that you are looking for a heavily used suction cup dildo?
I think
dildo.
I'm giving you the wrong impression. It's not like I'm a no. Craigslister.
I want you to do that, and then we can discuss the entries that you have received.
I'll see what I can do for you.
Should we all three look for the craziest thing we can find on Craigslist and compare notes when we get back?
See, I'm not... Yeah, sure, why not? Let's do it. I'm not an avid Craigslister, to be honest with you.
You went for eggs.
You liar. You just told us you were.
Legit went to look for eggs.
But this is the thing. As you guys see this as a crazy idea, I see this as a brilliant idea. And what you didn't allow me to say, this wasn't even my idea. Like, this was the genius of my lady, because we spend so much money on...
You're passing it off on her.
I mean, no, I'll take full credit. Whatever. It's fine. They're delicious. You don't understand. But more importantly, tying sex toys, Craigslist, and all this together, one thing I recently discovered, and this could also be a public service announcement to some of our frustrated listeners out there, if we ever get listeners, is what I learned from a recent article is that when it comes to the adult services industry, quote-unquote escort, quote-unquote prostitution, there's a hierarchy of websites upon which they post, and Craigslist is essentially, is like the do not post realm for when it comes to adult escorts, because that's where they said homicides occur. But there's actually a different website that's Craigslist-esque called Backpage.com.
Okay.
That sounds shady as fuck.
And this is apparently where semi-authentic escorts post their listings. Navid, don't get excited.
Is it like Redbook?
No, it's called Backpage.com. You can go there right now. And then apparently if you're like top of the top tier, top tier classiest of the classiest, you post on a website called Eros.com.
That's the one I'm on.
Okay. I should have known.
I posted if you wanted a slightly overweight, gray, super
salt and pepper beard and hair,
super mediocre lover,
ambiguously, ambiguously racist.
No, I'm not racist. I own a colored TV.
Not racist.
Jeff, whoa.
Yeah, come on, man.
Whoa. So to get back to what you guys were saying, though, this is the problem, is I read these things, and then naturally, curiosity is piqued. So what I'm saying is if...
Curiosity is piqued? Google's, is that what you call your penis?
I'm just saying if my Google search history, or whatever, were ever to be made publicly aware, I would have a lot of answering to do, because I tend to like to look into the things that I read about, and I've read about a lot of really weird things in my life. Like when, you guys are familiar with the, I'm giving up on all sense of just lateral movement tonight. You just gotta follow me.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
right beside you.
You guys have heard of Tor and the dark web, right? Like kind Silk of. Road was a
yeah,
big
yeah,
thing
yeah.
in the news recently.
Yeah, Silk Road.
So like, see, I'm the type of person when I heard of the Silk Road and I heard of these websites where you can go on and you can like buy murderers and heroin. Like, I'm the type of person that insides like it's a good idea to install the Tor network, not on my home computer because, you know, I wouldn't want it to be traceable to
on
me,
your work
but
computer.
To install it on my work computer and then log it to Silk Road. So literally, when I was working at a 5-star hotel, I was shopping on Silk Road, and you actually can buy like heroin and anything and murderers and anything you want on Silk Road.
Wow.
And I know that because I was shopping on Silk Road when I was like at work. And this is why I'm saying I could get myself in trouble. Hopefully no one does ever listen to this podcast. But
what? You were just looking.
You know what's funny is that the shit we're covering right now would just bring so many listeners. This is the type of shit that would make us infamous.
So so Sandor told me that you know the website, since you know we're talking about all this other good stuff, Ashley Madison.
Yeah, they got hacked recently.
They did. And
so
they're threatening
all over the place, Naveed.
My shit's already all over the place. Right. You know how many DPs are out there?
32 million users.
Yeah. They're about to be like, you know what? I'm about to put this shit out on blast unless you shut down this website.
Well, guess who has an account on there? Because who read about it 5 years ago and was curious? So who signed up to see what it was all about?
Did you pay for it?
At work. No, I didn't pay. I think there was like a free trial or
yeah,
like a, you could go on and get browse profiles.
I was curious.
Yeah.
You know what? No, yeah, I did it when I was single. I just tried to clean up. Yeah. I
but
mean,
did,
there's
did
nothing wrong with that.
Did you actually put down your sexual fantasies? Did you tell them what that actually was?
No, you know what?
No.
Anything that really involved me making a online profile of myself, I just gave up on because I don't want to write an essay to get some vagina.
Oh yeah, I put yeah. There was fake pictures.
That's,
there was
yeah. That's
names.
That's
no
not something
I
want to surround myself with. If I have to write a fucking blog about myself for you to be interested, then you're not somebody I want to sleep with.
Well, the other thing is, yeah. Were you actually interested in the people on there, or were you there just there to sort of view it? Because that's
I mean, by
that's
when,
where
when
I
it
was.
Came
I
out,
just wanted...
I was just trying to look for boobies.
Yeah. All right. There you go. That's where,
yeah,
that's
I mean, because in theory, like,
that,
that's not really, like, my target demographic, because, like, ideally you're not going to be looking for a long-term relationship on a website dedicated to people cheating.
Yeah, that whole
right.
website's about people cheating.
Life's too short.
Yeah.
Have an affair.
But
that's
see, Naveed,
their
it's
motto.
Interesting that you'd say you don't want to write an essay to, like, date a woman.
I didn't say that. I definitely said not that.
Okay.
But go on.
So what type of woman are you looking to connect with if you don't want to have to share feelings or share any bit of information about yourself? I mean, clearly you found a successful relationship. You're in one.
I did. And, you know, to this day, it's always, why don't you share your feelings? So,
well, I mean, Jeff, you might be better.
Yeah, he is the married one.
Married
like, why
one.
Don't you ask him?
But I would just say, personally, I would suggest that if you want this relationship to sustain itself over the long run, listening to that particular plea from your girlfriend might be a worthwhile endeavor.
I listen.
I
don't respond.
Having come through that same exact thing. It's really not that hard. I was completely closed off. Didn't open up anything. Didn't show when I was happy. Didn't show when I was sad, upset, frustrated, anything. And it's so nice just to be able to be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm pissed off. Or I'm.
I do that
right now. What are you doing? So well then you are. Well then she's being unrealistic in asking you to share more. But I will say it's very nice. From going from a very closed off, I don't want anybody to know anything about me, whether it's, you know, emotional or anything about my thought process, where my head's at, anything, to actually having someone that I can open up to a little bit, even a little bit.
I mean, but you guys know me. Like, I'm an open book. And if I don't like you, it's pretty clear. And if I do like you, I'll roll with you. Like I roll with you guys.
See, now this is a topic I would love to delve deeper into, because actually during the rehearsal dinner for my brother's wedding, me, my brother, my my girlfriend and his wife got into an interesting conversation kind of about viewpoints and opinions on this matter. That being said, I'm going to save that for a later podcast.
No.
I just realized, we've been talking
about sorry, Jeff. Time. Sorry, but we have to keep the cliffhangers coming.
Yeah, we're at 50 minutes, buddy, and Daddy, I mean, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah, that's like, another hour. That's true. Yeah.
That's for sure another big conversation. Yeah. But so I like that.
So what I'm saying is next podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about politics, religion, and relationships because, you know, we like keeping it lighthearted.
Yeah,
and
let's just get
two of the three
as deep as we can possibly go.
Hey, but true story, at least two of the three we won't even touch on. No, so
it's true.
Maybe even three of the three.
Yeah,
maybe.
Don't worry,
because we'll
whatever
talk
we
about
don't,
this again.
Whatever we don't touch on, Jeff will cover in his other cooler podcast.
Yeah, where they actually follow the outline.
You know what? You're goddamn right. I will. God,
so,
screw you guys.
Basically, what you don't understand is we're just a factory for ideas for Jeff's more successful, super cool podcast he started with the other people. So, you're welcome, Jeff. Season zero, my ass. Just take all of our ideas. It's fine.
Eat a dick.
And on that note, we'll see you next time.
Ba-da-ba.
See, but you're playing music effects, and now we got to put them into the podcast. Cause
see, yeah, now you fucked up. And I didn't even stop recording yet, so we're still going.
We're still going. This is all part of the fade out. Oh, crickets.
Crickets.
Appreciate it.
Oh, cash. Damn. All right, guys.
All right, this is the end.
And...